me, Bill Buckmaster, ready with Showtime. So sad to hear the news. 91-year-old Christopher Plummer died. One of my favorite actors, Tom Fairbanks, engineering, producing on the other side of the glass. Sad to hear that. I really liked one of his so many great movies, the movie Somewhere in Time from 1980. But there were just so many great movies. This guy was at the top of his game. Really, up until the end, he was still working.
I got a trivia question for you then.
Hit me with it.
Which Star Trek movie did he appear in? Regular movie, not a TV production.
The first?
Nope.
Tell me.
The last. The last real movie.
There you go.
The Undiscovered Country, Star Trek VI.
He was still working up right until the end. Gotta admire that. Welcome to Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Friday, February the 5th, 2021. We're on 10:30. Tucson's source for trusted news talk, KVOI. Worldwide live listening podcasts, all available on my website. Oh my goodness, what an archive. 10 full years of programs at buckmastershow.com. Pretty much since day one when we launched the radio project. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our thanks to our media partners, people in the news media who support us, prominently displaying the Buckmaster Show logo with a link to our website on the front page of their websites, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group, its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oral Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Joining us on the live line for our Friday Focus interview, Tucson Police Chief Christopher Magnus and Sarah Garrett-Gasson, opinion page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, checking in from her home office. Probably her little friend is with us, Olivia the Wonder Dog. Sarah, how are you?
I am good, and Olivia is sound asleep under a chair.
Oh, good. So from
all
our
past
interviews, knowing you now know to feed Olivia right before the Buckmaster Show, so then she pretty much passes out.
Yes, it's a fine art.
Yeah,
we have figured it out.
And Chief Magnus, how are your dogs? You have two or three now?
I've got three of them, if you can believe that.
Oh my goodness!
They are hopefully all sleeping because they were running around outside rigorously before the show. But you never know for sure. All it takes is one doorbell or something.
Yeah, there you go. Well, welcome back to the program, Chief. We've concluded the horrible year of 2020, the COVID year. Do you see initially any reflection in crime statistics that would indicate we had a lot of people that were staying home? Can you give us any insight into that, Chief?
I think the biggest thing that we've seen, and frankly, it's very much the same with really all the other major cities around the country, because we share our statistics. And what we've seen is crime in general is down. In fact, property crime is significantly down, but homicides and aggravated assaults are up. So I'm not sure what that tells us about people staying home or spending too much time. Most of them are not domestic related, though. It just seems that there's a high degree of stress out there. And when people get into some sort of beef with each other and they're carrying a gun, which many of them are, that seems to be the weapon of choice to settle whatever the dispute, and that's where we're getting a lot of our homicides.
And one thing we don't need, Chief Magnus, is, you know, we've got so much anger out there and in this dangerous street racing that's been going on. And I'm just wondering, you've had a lot of experience with gang violence. You came to Tucson in 2014 to take over as top cop. Before that, you were over in the East Bay in Richmond, California. There was a terrific problem with gangs. You really pretty much put a clamp on it. Do you see any fingerprints or hallmarks that there's some gangs involved with this street racing that's going on?
I can't say that we've really seen evidence of you know, organized gangs involved in street racing. But, you know, again, it's hard to entirely rule it out. What we do see is a fair number of people with time on their hands, who are really basically very inconsiderate of others and immature. Some of them are organized together in groups. There is some gathering of folks often before these races. But I can't say that we've really attached it to a lot of organized gang activity.
We have had such terrible misfortune with individuals over the last 2 years, 169 individuals losing their lives on our streets. That's 40% of that related to speed. And then we've had the issues with the pedestrian deaths. It's been very dangerous out on the street, Chief.
No question about it. It's really been frustrating. Last year, I do think one of the things that contributed to that was the fact that we had really a lot of people staying home as we asked them to do, particularly in the evening hours with the various curfews and stay home orders. And that meant streets were even more wide open than they usually are. But, you know, we have a fundamental problem here in Tucson, which is we have a lot of very large, very fast arterial streets, and people take advantage of those, particularly at nighttime when there are less cars on the road, to do some crazy things. And we've seen, especially out on the east side of town, where they're even more wide open and some of the streets are even newer, there have been some really disastrous consequences, and we're certainly putting every resource we can to make it stop, to improve it. But some of it is also a matter of how these roads are engineered and other factors that, frankly, aren't entirely within our control.
Let's bring in Sarah Garrett-Gasson of The Star. Hey, Sarah.
Hello. What do you think would cameras... street cameras help? I know that Tucson had them. They were taken away. Would something like that, like traffic cameras, would that help the situation?
I do think that they would help. I think there were problems the last time they were in, mostly due to the way the fines were collected. There were issues with the company that was running the program. I think there are better ways to do it, but I do think that they are a deterrent, especially around red light running, which is a big factor in our crashes. But I think one of the other things, frankly, would be more police officers. I've got a really limited number of even traffic officers, for example, as few as 21 motor officers and 4 sergeants. That's very few to be able to do enforcement across a city as large as ours. And, you know, our numbers in general, our staffing is really appalling. It's at about one of its lowest historical levels, yet we have historically high levels of traffic crashes and fatality deaths. It's very frustrating.
Sarah, did you want to follow up on the staffing situation?
Yeah, is that something that has changed in the past year or two, or is that just a continuation of an already bad situation?
It is a continuation. Things improved a little bit when officers a couple of years ago finally got a modest increase to try to bring them at least a little bit closer to market. But since then, the market has continued to adjust based on the fact that, you know, it's a very competitive world out there when it comes to hiring police officers. This is not the primary job that people want to get into these days for a whole host of reasons. So other cities around the state are adjusting to meet the limits of that market. And as a result of us not making any adjustments in officer pay, we are a little over 13% below our surrounding agencies. And that's a market study of 11 surrounding agencies, 13% below. And so what that you know, what that comes down to is our attrition, the number of officers who are leaving each month. We know that the average has been around 6 a month. That's typical. That's healthy attrition. People leave to retire. There are people that leave for medical reasons, other things that happens in every department. But when it starts getting above 6, when we have 3 or more officers leaving a month because they're going to other departments, that is a big hit for us. And it's even more frustrating, I think, from the standpoint, well, I look at it from the standpoint of being a taxpayer. We're investing in officers. We're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on their training. And then, you know, they're walking out the door and going to other agencies. And so this is really troubling. We're budgeted at 885 sworn officers, but we only have 766 deployable sworn, and that's everybody from me all the way down to the newest officer. So just to put it in really slightly more relevant, I think, reality for the average listener, we have 331 total officers and 49 sergeants that comprise our patrol division. And, you know, so when you start dividing it up, you know, by area of town, if you live in Midtown, that means you've got around the clock a total, you know, 68 officers have to be split between multiple shifts. You know, on the east side, 61 officers have to be split between multiple shifts. That's 24-hour-a-day coverage that we have to fill with 61 officers. So I'm really troubled by this. And, you know, I'm trying not to be an alarmist about it. I've never been that way as the chief here, but I do find some of these numbers alarming.
Can you say that you're losing them to surrounding departments? Do you mean within like Marana or O'Valley, Saudi, like within our own community, our own metro area?
No, that's right. The market study is primarily agencies right in our own metro area. But it gets even worse, frankly, if we look into the Phoenix Valley, where, for example, a new police department is just being stood up by the city of Queen Creek. They used to contract with the sheriff's department. They're standing up their own police department, and they're only hiring lateral officers. And in order to get those lateral officers, they're paying a market wage, which is $19,000 higher than our pay for a comparable seniority officers. In other words, if you have 3 years on at TPD and you decide you're going to go to work as a lateral officer in Queen Creek, you're going to get $19,000 base pay plus another $2,000 hiring bonus. That's $21,000 difference. And don't think that that isn't causing some of our officers to leave, not only to Queen Creek, but to other cities right here locally, as well as in the Phoenix Metro. This is really very, very problematic, and it has to be addressed.
I'm going to go a step further, Chief, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. This to me, Sarah, what do you think? This sounds like a real crisis that we've got right now. We're down more than 100 officers than where we should be. This is the lowest point in your tenure here, in your 6-plus years, isn't it, Chief? This is of crisis proportions.
Well, it's certainly the lowest in my tenure. And, you know, we've done every imaginable creative thing to try to compensate for the lack of staffing. We've increased the number of community service officers. And don't get me wrong, they're incredibly valuable. In fact, we're asking for even more in this coming budget. But, you know, we have to address this lack of parity in pay if we're going to hold our own. And if we don't, this trend is going to continue. In fact, it's going to accelerate. And the challenge, and again, we're not unlike a lot of places, but we hold 3 academies a year. If we continue at the rate we're going with, you know, we're lucky. We start with 24. People drop out for a variety of reasons. We're already down to 15 recruits in the current academy. That does not, I mean, you can do the math. That does not allow us to even keep up with attrition. And so those numbers are going to continue to decrease. And, you know, I've got officers going from call to call to call to call. I think they're doing absolutely the very best they can, but people also want added traffic enforcement. They want more community engagement. They want us to do neighborhood problem solving, address issues involving homelessness and drug addiction, mental health. It's, you know, you can only stretch folks so thin.
Should there be some kind of an emergency session of the council to find the money to at least bring some of these salaries up to stop this hemorrhaging?
Well, I mean, really, just to be very candid about it, we have met with every member of council and shared this and even more extensive data with them. Their response at the moment is that they want to see what other city employees are behind the market. They are asking for a study, a market study, which will hopefully be completed by sometime in April. And then it will be, I guess, up to them to decide whether they want to take action on this or if they have some other thought in mind. I wish that action was being taken now. We've offered several proposals and ideas for addressing that. And I know several of them are very, they understand the challenge, but ultimately this is a political decision, although it has real public safety consequences.
Let's take a break right here. I want to continue with this discussion with Christopher Magnus, police chief in Tucson, Arizona, where we have some real problems now with enough officers in this community of nearly 1 million people in the area. And it's a big issue, and we need to try to pick up on it here after we take the break. But right now, Chief and Sarah, I want to talk about some good news, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. I'll tell you, tomorrow I'm looking forward to one of their cinnamon rolls and really getting some comfort food in me this weekend after a very, very difficult week with everything that's been going on. They have such beautiful pastries up there at Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. Their phone number, 579-1959. You can call ahead for your bakery goods, or you can just walk into the bakery and say, I'd like that Bill Buckmaster blueberry muffin that everybody talks about with the giant, giant top to it, or one of those Frisbee-sized, well, they're not maybe half the size of a Frisbee or a quarter of the size of Frisbee cinnamon rolls. Anyway, we'll be back. It's Buckmaster Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. We'll continue with Chief Magnus and Sarah Garrett-Gasson of The Star right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back now for our conversation on the live line with the Tucson Police Chief, Christopher Magnus, who's been with the as top cop since 2014. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. And before I turn it back over to you, Sarah, we were talking in the first segment, Chief, about these staffing levels, 13% below the surrounding areas. So it's a low-paying department. That's certainly a big issue right now. I'll be quite candid, Chief. Are you looking now to move on? Is this a frustrating situation, or are you going to stick it out here for a while? What is your thinking on that?
Look, I'm in my sixth year here, and I love Tucson, and this is really, I think, the best police department that I've ever worked with. I think it's the top police department in the country when it comes to the caliber of people, the kind of training they have. I think we're so far ahead of the curve in so many ways when it comes to thoughtful, progressive, and responsive policing. We've adopted more best practices than I think even most people who live here are aware of when it comes to doing things really with less staffing and yet being very effective in so many ways. In fact, one example of that is our homicide clearance rate, which is right around 80%, significantly higher than almost every other major city in this country. And that's because of the quality of the people that work here. We have officers that I am so proud of, the things that they're doing in terms of community projects, efforts to deal with quality of life. And that's despite the fact that they, as I said, are just going call to call to call to call. So, I mean, am I frustrated? I am. Am I committed to doing everything I can to try to address parity in pay for the members of this department? My team and I have been working as hard as you can possibly imagine on this. This is our top priority because we know if we don't, we're going to continue to lose key personnel. And again, I can't emphasize enough, these are investments that this community has made already. It would be like you invest, in any major project and then you let it walk, any major endeavor, and then you just let it escape from you. And I, here's just one other quick point on this. You know, we have worked very hard to make this a more diverse department. We're very well represented when it comes to officers of color, particularly our Hispanic officers. We've worked hard and we're really doing a lot of things to try to recruit more women. And yet these other agencies, they're not foolish. They want our diversity. And so the first folks they want to hire, and many of the really talented officers that are walking out the door are women, officers of color. We're losing not only a diversity in work experience, years and years of work experience in some cases, but we're also losing a diversity in terms of, our women and community of color. So it's very, I think this has to be addressed. And the longer we take to address it, the harder it is then to catch up. Because you can't just suddenly say, oh, well, we're going to pay better and we're going to recruit more and we're going to do these things and we'll be right back to where we should be. People don't understand how long it takes to train officers, to even hire officers. It takes close to a year these days to get people through that full hiring and training process. So these are the reasons why I'm bringing these issues up.
So bottom line, you're not going away. You're staying in Tucson.
I always tell people when they ask that question, I'll stay as long as the community will have me. You know, that's usually the issue, isn't it?
Yes.
Chief's tenure these days in most larger cities are as short as 2 to 3 years because of the politics, somebody has to own problems when they occur. It's become an increasingly challenging job in the world we're living in these days. So the fact that I've already doubled that, I think, ought to say something about my commitment to the department and the community.
And how about morale within the department? How would you characterize it?
I would characterize it as not great. I think people are struggling right now because they do face real dangers out there. You know, we just recently had an officer-involved shooting where an officer was, literally came across an individual who had just shot his wife 5 times, several times in the face. Terrible, terrible crime. Officer discovers that first thing, right out of the chute on his shift in the morning. Pulls the vehicle over, unaware for actually a traffic violation. And while he is at the door of the car, a gun is drawn on him. This is not an easy line of work, and it is not easy, particularly in a community where so many folks are carrying guns and where we do have challenges with gang violence and other things. So, I think officers are expected to do a lot. You can't get around the fact that on calls involving mental health or drugs, you have to have multiple officers on a call. They get further and further behind them on calls for service. They're frustrated then when they compare their pay to other agencies. Sometimes they hear demoralizing feedback from various quarters. So I feel really badly for them. And I think the fact that they continue to do such a terrific job despite these circumstances is really a credit to the personnel we have. You got some really good officers in this department.
All right, let's go back now to Sarah Garrett Gasson, opinion page editor and columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, you're on.
Thank you, Bill. Is this a question of money? I mean, I know that you've talked about, pay, number of officers, all of that. Is there a price tag that would get us on the right track? Is there a dollar amount you're asking for in the budget?
The total cost for parity, in other words, to pay a full year at a salary that just brings us up to the level of these other departments, doesn't take us above the level, doesn't put us at the front of the line, just brings us up to parity, is $10.6 million. And, do I believe the city has those resources? Well, I think they do, but I think it's a matter of political choices. And so, you know, can it maybe all be done at once? Are there creative ways to address it? Those are decisions that obviously have to be made by the city council, working with the city manager. But I think, is it just about money? I think it's about priorities. You have to decide what your priorities are in a community. I've always thought public safety is the first priority above all else, but I guess we'll have to see in the months to come, you know, what exactly the priority is here.
Sarah, a follow-up?
Yeah, with the priorities and the 10.6 million, is that would get it to parity, but then you'd have to keep funding it at that rate, right?
No, that's correct. You know, you have to. It's not good enough just to catch up. The funding has to be maintained. So, you know, it always comes down to choices, though, right? I mean, we can make further cuts in the department, but people have to understand what those cuts mean. And the community, I think, then has to be involved in deciding what it is that they don't want or that they're willing to do without. I don't think that's, you know, I think that really has to be a community decision. And so if people want to maintain the services and resources and response that they have now, then they have to decide, you know, are they going to fund that or not? If they're willing to, if they're willing to go for less, then I think there needs to be a community conversation about what less looks like. And I mean, that's a reality in every city.
I wanted to ask also about a story, and I know that you're not in charge of the emergency dispatch center, but the Star had a story on Sunday about the head of the 911 system leaving unexpectedly to go back to, I think, Oklahoma. And so your second in command, Deputy Chief Chad Kazmar, is over there trying to get things in better shape. What impact does that have on TPD not having your deputy chief with you? And what should Tucsonans think about the situation over at the 911 system?
Well, first of all, let me say that I think Chad Kazmar is one of the smartest, most capable administrators I've ever worked with. And he is also a very, very caring individual. And I know he is going to do absolutely everything within his power to try to address some of the many issues that exist in the communications center. Not unlike the police department, they have serious issues with retention. In fact, their attrition rate is double what ours is. And, you know, a lot of this, you know, there are many, many challenges that have to be dealt with there. But I am very confident that, you know, he, working with the city manager, working with me, the fire chief, and others, we are going to do every possible thing we can to improve the working situation for people who are employed within the dispatch center, and to improve the service that community members get when they call 911. We recognize there's a problem. Nobody has their head in the sand. But if anyone is in a good position to provide that leadership at a critical time, I think it's Deputy Chief Kazmar. Now, is that a loss to our department? It is. I think this is a time when we all have to make some sacrifices for the greater good. I'm fortunate that I have an interim deputy chief. He's been one of my assistant chiefs for several years now, Eric Kazmierczak. I think we're going to get along just fine, but this is a time where the priority has to be addressing the situation in the dispatch center. And I know, I think the city's committed to doing everything that can possibly be done to make things better there.
But if you call 911, you will get someone. Let's, that's the bottom line, right, Chief Magnus?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're definitely going to get someone. I think the challenge is sometimes there are some delays that people find very frustrating. There are still some technology issues. It's a very 911 systems, no matter where they are, very complicated. They're a complicated mix of personnel, technology, trying to keep up with all the different things that are out there. And so I think we have a lot of really good people that work there. I think it is, I remember back to being a dispatcher was one of my first jobs. I don't even want to tell you how many years ago. And even back then, when I think about it, oh my God, I get a headache just thinking about it. It was one of the most stressful jobs I ever had. It is not easy. And so I think these are folks we really have to take care of. There are a lot of issues to be addressed. But I do think, we're working hard to give people the service that they need. And, that is priority number one.
Was that in Fargo, North Dakota?
It was not. It was actually in Lansing, Michigan, okay. Michigan's capital city. I was a dispatcher for city and county. Sometimes I think it's amazing how little has changed in terms of back then. People who worked in communications center were underpaid. There were many, many challenges with the work environment. And I look today and, boy, here we are many years later, and it seems like it's still a really stressful job. And frankly, that's true in most cities.
And I brought up Fargo because you did spend some time there, as I recall. Correct?
I did. Okay. I spent 6 years. And right now is another good example of why I love Tucson, because okay. I looked, I think, just the other day, in the middle of the day, it was, I think, 3 degrees. So, okay. I'll take this chilly 69 any day.
There you go. All right, Chief Christopher Magnus, thank you very much for spending some time with our listeners. Thanks very much.
You bet. My pleasure. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Christopher Magnus, Chief of Police, Tucson, Arizona. I've got some things to say with Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Star. So, Sarah, stick around. We'll be right back with you and our listeners right after this.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com. Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to the police chief, Chris Magnus, for the update on the situation with the low staffing. Morale, not great. That's a quote from Chief Magnus. Officers leaving for places like Queen Creek, newly staffed department where they can make $20,000, $21,000 more than a Tucson police officer. Sarah Garrett Gaston of the editorial opinion page editor and columnist with the Arizona Daily Star with us on the live line. So, Sarah, that's why I asked the chief, are you ready to leave? I mean, he sounded really frustrated to me.
He really did.
Yes. And,
the most frustrated, I mean, we've spoken with him, you know, since, is what, 6 years here?
Yes, it is.
I've
not heard him like this.
No, I was thinking that, like, you know, it's never been a bed of roses. We've never had adequate staffing. We've never had enough police officers to, you know, and the budget problems are perennial. But this today, I got the idea that things were bubbling up and he was frustrated, and it's not hard to see why.
I know. And talk about frustration. That's a beautiful segue into the way I've been feeling after Ann and I got up so early this morning thinking maybe this would be the day. I know they're giving the walk, or we're giving the walk-in shots at the Tucson Convention Center. So we got down there. Oh, we'll get down there before 7 and see what was going on. Well, hundreds, and I mean hundreds of people lined up, and I think some of them might have spent the entire evening there last night and morning lined up. And the wait, somebody was saying 4 or 5 hours. Basically, they wound up cutting it off, saying, that's it. They're not taking any more people today, so no more walk-ins today. So we left to try another day. It's very frustrating.
Oh, it absolutely is. My heart goes out to so many people who were, you know, frustrated, as you said, and, you know, it's such an urgent situation, and there isn't a really clear set of who goes where and why and how, and it has been a mess. We have a piece in Sunday's paper coming up from Jim Sinek, who has written about education and other issues for many years for us. But he's saying, you know, if you really want to get teachers vaccinated, let the school districts do it. They move thousands of kids to and from lots of places every day. They know the logistics, and it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it isn't a bad idea. What else is coming up in the paper on Sunday?
We have a piece from Kevin Dahl talking about the expansion to Saguaro National Park. Some parcels were able to be, they're going to be able to be purchased with federal money to bring more specific pieces into the park system, which is good news. And then we have a piece from about from the Arizona Coalition to End Sexual and Domestic Violence that's talking about their legislative priorities for protecting people from domestic and sexual violence, which I think has some really good ideas too.
You know, getting back to the supply of the vaccine to Pima County, as the Star reports today, the supply, this is not what we wanted to see or hear, this kind of news, that a plummeting supply, just as we have opened up now shots to 70 and older, something I was advocating, and I don't do a lot of advocating on Facebook. I try to stay pretty neutral, but last Sunday I did. I advocated and I said, we've got to open, we've got to move 65 to 74-year-old age group, Sarah Garrett Gasson, to the head of the line or near the top of the line. So kind of a compromise for me that I'm happy to see 70 and older now will be eligible to get the shot. But the question is, yeah, you're eligible, but where and when? And it's this, and then we hear this news, the supply is being cut back.
Yeah,
crazy.
Based on experience and letters to the editor, once you get to a place and you have your appointment, things work well, but it's the, how do you get an appointment? Who do you talk to? How do you maneuver the websites? It's not cohesive, and it's really confusing, especially if you don't, you know, you're not internet savvy, or that's not kind of your world, which might be the case if you're, you know, in that 75 to 80 year old person range, although I'm certainly not saying that people don't understand how to use the internet, but it's mm-hmm. just really frustrating. It's not organized in a straightforward way that makes sense to anyone outside the system.
There you go. All right, Sarah, it's always a pleasure talking to you. My best to Olivia the Wonder Dog, who probably hasn't even moved for the past hour while we've been on the air.
She stood up and went in a circle and laid back down again.
Okay.
She's about a foot away from where she started.
Yes. Nothing against you, Bill, she's saying.
Exactly.
All right. Sarah, have a good weekend. Thanks.
You too.
Thanks a lot. Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Matt Russell is next with Weekend Watch. Be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Weekend Watch is now on the air. Stirring it up, baby. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. I think you'll be very impressed with the many things to do and many great places to stay. And when New Mexico opens up, and we think that will be coming very soon, you'll be all ready to pile in the car and take that 3-hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Here's the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Hey, Matt.
Hey, I'm stirring it up, baby. What a remarkable coincidence on a Friday afternoon.
There you go. Hey, is Dante's Fire still doing socially distanced happy hours?
They are, and I love this particular happy hour because it really is hard to forget. All you need to know is 5, 6, 7, and at Dante's Fire on Grant Road, that means there are 5 happy hour dishes until 6 p.m. for only $7 each, 5, 6, 7. So you could choose from escargot, chorizo sliders, grilled jalapeno poppers, Southwest deviled eggs, Thai curry shrimp, or meet some friends and order all 5. And with a buck off cocktails and $2 off glasses of wine and other specials, this is really happy hour. It's 4 to 6 p.m. today and every day at Dante's Fire.
Sounds really hot over at the fire. That's going to be a lot of fun.
For sure.
Another Friday, another opening on Weekend Watch.
Absolutely. And this week's newest restaurant to open their doors in Tucson is a place called Toast 101. Now, this is a breakfast and lunch joint on Speedway and Swan, and the proprietor is Calvin Jarvis. Might be a familiar name if you're a fan of the NBC show The Voice. He was a contestant a couple of seasons ago and actually made it pretty far. Now, his new breakfast menu is anchored by 11 creative toast and French toast dishes, plus classic breadsticks and skillets. And for lunch, they bring some burgers and sandwiches to the party. If you want to take your toast to another level, try Toast 101 this weekend.
What an interesting idea. New concept. Like it very much at Toast 101. Okay, Super Bowl weekend, Super Bowl eats. What do we got, my friend?
For sure. You know, sadly, the Buffalo Bills will not be playing the big game on this Sunday, but the two teams that will be playing also hail from cities known for cuisine, Tampa and Kansas City. So Tampa fans will surely want some Cuban sandwiches as part of their Sunday spread. I think Finney's Landing on Sunrise and Swan stacks them up beautifully. Better get a few boxes to cheer on those Bucks. And Kansas City fans will no doubt need some barbecue on their table for the Chiefs to rack up a win. And I think the ribs at Brother John's on Stone should do the trick with their low and slow style of smoking. Bill, no matter what team you're behind, you're sure to get a touchdown for your taste buds on Sunday.
Yeah, sounds like a real winner, whichever direction you go. Some great ideas, as usual, on Weekend Watch from Matt Russell. Thank you, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our friend Chris Stefan. More about him at buckmastershow.com. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, making sure all of the podcasts are up at buckmastershow.com. Everybody here at KVOI, including engineer and producer Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, we have one wish for you, all of us. Have a safe and pleasant weekend.